Welcome back, listeners, to Raw Thoughts Podcast, the podcast where I ring on individuals and we just hear about their life, where they've gone, where they're headed, and what makes them them. Today, I have Kyle Moeller on and talking about just kind of his journey through photography, what that looks like, how he's gotten to where he has came from. Before we started this, we've already had some fun conversations of what he has done and kind of his past. So I'm excited. Welcome, Kyle, to Raw Thoughts.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about you.
Well, grew up in a town called Folsom. Have you heard of Johnny Cash?
Yep.
Folsom Prison.
Okay.
Grew up about a mile from the prison. Saw one prison outbreak when I was a little kid.
Whoa.
So that was kind of interesting. Blockbuster back in the day. My mom and I were returning a DVD. Dude comes running by in an orange jumpsuit. Me at like 7, 8 years old, something like that. I'm thinking nothing of it. I'm like, oh, let's go get my movie, my DVD, whatever. Mom grabs me, all of a sudden, 400 cop cars, helicopters, SWAT car, the whole shebang. Yeah, because it's maximum security. It's where Charles Manson was for a couple years.
Whoa.
So, yeah, bad dudes were there. But yeah, grew up in Folsom, came to Boise in 2011. Went to school here, graduated with my undergraduate in journalism in 2015, and been here ever since.
So is BSU what brought you to Boise?
Yeah, so in high school, I had a few baseball scholarships and nothing I was really super interested in. It was probably my least favorite sport, but it was the sport I was best at, and just nothing that really piqued my interest. And all my friends stayed in California, and I was like, no, I want to get the heck up out of here. So we left and came here. It was a bright, sunny day, and just fell in love with the place.
Yeah. So. And what has been your journey with BSU?
So in 2011, I wanted to get back into sports. So I started working for the football team as an equipment manager, student equipment manager. Basically, we help out with our, whatever position group we get assigned. Mine was receivers to start with. So we just set up drills, throw balls to the receivers if they deem we're good enough. And just kind of, you know, put together helmets, jerseys, all the game day operations, all the kind of behind the scenes stuff that no one ever sees. So I was there with football from 11 to 17. And then got transferred over full time with men's and women's basketball, women's volleyball, women's beach volleyball, and women's gymnastics as their full time equipment manager. So 11 years.
Were you doing that while you were also going to BSU as a student, or how'd you get involved with that?
Yeah, so I was a full-time student. I also worked full-time at the rec center. I was in a fraternity. I was a basketball referee.
Holy cow.
I like to think I was more productive as a college kid than I am now, and I was more busy and, you know, better with my time, but yeah.
That's a lot of things on your hands.
It was a lot of things. I kind of equates to how I do things now. Like, I don't watch a lot of TV and do all that kind of stuff. So it made me kind of prioritize my schedules and all those sorts of things. So I think it was good for me in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you still involved with BSU? Like, tell us some of the behind the scenes.
Yeah. Actually, we got a new project that we're working on right now. We just started this summer. It's called BOLD, Broncos of the Last Decade. And so basically what it means is kind of we want people to become part of Boise State and get reintegrated with it. But when you become an alumni, usually, you know, you donate money and you don't see anything from it. Or you might have some fancy dinner if you've donated $20,000 or whatever it is. But we're not gearing towards that. We want to give people experiences, give people tangible items, and give people friends and ways to connect with the community. So we have BOLD. It's a small donation of $250. And when you donate, you get access to $99 season tickets for football and men's basketball. You get free access to all of our tailgates, which also means all you can drink. Our tailgates are sponsored by 10 Barrel, and they'll be donating all the beer for us. We're working on some other things with the Broncos shop, including a massive percentage off for gear you buy, some stuff with the Morrison Center, and we've got some other stuff in the works as well.
So is this already happening? Like, people can already get into this?
Yeah, we've already reached what we wanted to be our yearly goal in the first 3 months. So
Whoa. We're
doing pretty well. We already had our first tailgate, which we're expecting to be our biggest event of the year. So,
and you haven't had your first tailgate?
Nope, this Saturday. So
how fun.
10 a.m. starts at 10 a.m. The game's at 2 p.m. So,
oh my gosh. Okay. So I am a BSU alumni and I haven't even heard of this. Like, how are you guys pushing this out? How did the word get spread so fast?
So it started with my friend, Sydney Montgomery, who I went to grad school with. She works in the Alumni and Friends Center right now. And she had texted myself and another worker of Boise State. Her name's Kelsey Messer. She's the cheer coach, and we're friends as well. And she asked us, you know, what do you guys think about this idea, yada, yada. My friends and I used to have a tailgate before COVID. So she kind of asked, she's like, how does this thing work? You know, what works, what doesn't work, this and that. And I was like, honestly, everyone just needs a place to gather, have a few beers, hang out with friends, and just mingle. Like, we don't need all the fancy stuff. We just want to mingle.
Like a place.
Yeah, we just want a place to talk and hang out and watch football. So we talked about it and kind of moved forward with it. And Dr. Trump was kind of the huge pusher of it, of, hey, we really want to get people involved who are recent graduates. And I don't know if you know this, but 40% of the people who have ever graduated from Boise State have graduated in the last 10 years.
Whoa, I did not know that.
What, since 1932, I think, or whatever? So what? Almost half, that's anyone that's ever graduated from Boise State in the last 10 years.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Is it from the influx? Like,
I think so. I mean, I don't know how much it's grown in the last 10 years, but you can just see with the city and everything else.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that so many more people are coming in and whatnot.
Well, and I think just from experience of how many people like you coming here, you go to BSU because it's a lot more affordable for people out of state. Even for them to be paying out of state tuition is less than what they are paying for in-state tuition, like in California, Florida, those kinds of things. And I remember, I mean, I was a non-traditional college student there, and there were so many people that were like, no, I'm not from here. And so that influx, and then, you know, obviously the prices is, and our growth. Our growth is exponential right now.
For sure. No, it was definitely, I mean, that was one of the proponents for me. It was, you know, a lot cheaper than California. And just, I mean, not even just school, just life itself. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've heard it many times. People call it Boise East California now, so.
Yes.
Makes sense.
I actually had, I sell real estate. That's my full-time gig.
Okay.
And I had a client from California coming up here visiting, and she goes, no, actually, we're not moving there. It just feels like a small California. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is.
Pretty much is.
It really is, which is sad, but also exciting because, I mean, things like Bold, like, we need people to have that. We need the involvement of our community. We need the involvement of those, you know, kind of bigger, broader ideas to grow us. Like, that's what growth is.
For sure. And the awesome thing about Bold, so there's 18 of us on the committee. So there's a bunch of us. I mean, my boss, Elliot, the Hoy Group, he's on it. So we have someone in real estate, my buddy who's a CPA, myself who's a photographer and videographer. We have someone who works at Micron. We have the cheer coach. Like, we broaden it. And the whole point was, we want to get somebody in almost like every single career within Boise, so we can reach out to all these things. And we're going to have, you know, little meetups to talk about the different careers and get people involved. And it's just awesome because there's no like specific person, like, I'm in charge and this is how we do things. It's more or less we come together, we meet once a month, we talk about things, we come together as a group, and, you know, we figure it out as a whole, which makes things better in our opinion.
Yeah, it's more of a collaboration instead of like a boss mentality.
For sure. Yeah, it's everyone, you know, let's put these ideas together and see what we all agree upon.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us some stories or your best stories of you having to manage and, I mean, do the gear and do the helmets. Like, I can only imagine the smell, first off. It would be horrendous.
It's, yeah, this might actually surprise you, but I've actually had, I don't know if I've had some girl teams that actually smell a lot worse than the guy teams. People would be very surprised about that, but...
Actually, I'm not.
Really?
Well, I say that because it's me and my two sisters growing up, and I always remember, like, us after softball games. Like, our stuff stank. Like, it was not good. Like, I really do think women's feet smell worse than men's.
Yeah. I've experienced some of those. Cleaned some shoes, fixed them up. Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely experienced a lot of that. Yeah. Yeah, some stories. Let's see. Okay. I mean, the Fiesta Bowl year, that was probably one of the most amazing years, probably my life. And being 21, that was just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just so much fun.
So were you with the team and you were doing the gear for them, or what exactly were you doing?
Yeah, so I was working for the football team. At the time, I was working with the receivers and quarterbacks. I actually have a story about the game. Still pains me. I have so many stories. It's ridiculous. But that game, one of the second touchdown of the game, we threw a deep ball to Chaz Anderson. And I always like to stand. So, like, if we're on the 30-yard line over here, I always like to stand kind of on the other side of the field, because we used to have four guys who would do ball stuff, and then myself and my other and my boss were kind of the people to fix things, because we had a bunch of us who would do play signs and cards. So we were the two kind of people on point to fix stuff. And so I'm standing about 40, 50 yards away from the play, and they throw a deep ball, and I'm just staring up, looking at the ball, and here comes the ref. Ref runs into me, bumps into me, falls to the ground, and I'm like, oh, crap, like, oh, snap. And he kind of looks at me, like, looks like he's about to pull out his flag. I'm like, they're really going to pull back a touchdown because of me. So as soon as he, like, ran off to, like, signal the touchdown, I ran to the sideline, like, changed my shirt and hat, did the whole thing. I was like, I'm not going to be the guy that we didn't, you know, score a touchdown in the Fiesta Bowl for. So, and that wasn't the first time I got caught on a field either. There's a game, BYU. We'd blocked a field goal. I think it was 2016, maybe a year later, 2 years later. And we thought the clock ran out, and then all of a sudden BYU was rallying up for a field goal. And if you look at the tape, I actually have a picture of it. On the tape, you can see me literally standing in the middle of the field with the team, just lost, not even knowing what I'm doing. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I've almost cost ourselves a few games here or there. Luckily, we won both those games, but I would have had to probably leave the state if either of those happened, for sure.
Yeah, you would not be.
No, I wouldn't be here today.
You would not be here today.
I went to graduate, and none of that stuff would have happened.
Wow. Okay, so you're doing all these things within BSU, like, was that your career? Like, how did all of this start evolving for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I grew up playing football, basketball, baseball, soccer, race bikes, golf, this, that, just sports. Sports was life. My brother coaches in the minor leagues right now. My sister works with Sacramento Kings, so we're a very sports heavily oriented family. So I wanted to get involved, and obviously, who doesn't want to get involved with football when they're around here? So I did, and my thought was, you know, I can get involved, maybe become a coach someday, get into the equipment roles, this and that, which actually led to an internship with what was then the Oakland Raiders, which was awesome.
Wow.
But, yeah, so I was just always wanted to get into sports somehow. I didn't really care how I did it, and that was kind of the first way in.
And I know I've already heard this story, but, like, being with the Oakland Raiders, like, how did that evolve for you?
So I was grew up a fan of the Raiders. Being in Sacramento, it was either Raiders or Niners, and my brother was a Raiders fan, so I kind of followed in his footsteps. One day we were just sitting in the equipment room, and one of the guys we worked with, Hunter, his uncle was the head equipment manager for the Raiders. So I just looked at him. I was like, hey, Hunter, what are the chances, you know, just joking around, what are the chances your uncle can get me a job? He's like, hey, one sec. Walked out of the room, got on the phone. I was like, where do you go? Comes back 5 minutes later. He's like, hey, here's his email. Just send him your resume by the end of the day. I was like, exactly. I was like, okay. So, like, hey, Dale, my boss at the time, I was like, I'm not working the rest of the day. Like, I got to work on my resume. So, sent him an email about 2 days later. It was like, you want to come out for training camp this year? I was like, heck yes, I do. So,
wow. So, you went down there and you, like, what exactly did you do?
Kind of the same stuff. I worked with the quarterbacks. So, did that for about a month. I got to travel to a couple games, stayed in the hotel. I mean, I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with the team, spent time with them. That was the year who their starting quarterback is, Derek Carr. That was the year he got drafted. So we got, you know, familiar with each other and just literally played catch and hung out with them every single day. So,
and that's what you call work?
That's what we call work. Got to put Nikes on and a dry fit and catch footballs from NFL players. So
that is insane. I mean, it's crazy to hear stories like that, and it seems like it came so natural to you. Like, there's not a lot of chase to this. It's you're around the right people, saying the right things, opening up to people, and just asking, being like, hey, what is the chance of this?
Right. I mean, it's the age old adage, it's not about what you know, it's who you know. You know, and obviously it gets your foot in the door, and then you can show what you know. And I proved myself once I got there so I could get myself a second year. But yeah, it's like you said, you're never going to know unless you ask. Like, what if you don't ask, you're going to be in the same position. So you may as well ask, and if they say no, then, you know, what's the harm in it? So
yeah. And what made you transition away from that?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, right now I'm doing photography and videography full time. And it's something I enjoy. And I think to a degree I wanted to challenge myself in a new way. I think I got to the point because I'd done it 11 years, but with the amount of hours I put in, it was probably darn near 20 years. So I just think I want to challenge myself and do something new. I mean, it got to the point where I was like, I was doing it with my eyes closed almost. It was like, you know, you're just kind of going through the motions, and it's like, you know, got to do something to challenge myself every day.
And what was that next challenge for you? I mean, you do videography and photography. Like, were you also always into those?
Not really, no. Started out with just, you know, GoPro, snowboarding, mountain biking. And then 2018, I went on a solo road trip across the Pacific Northwest. Went from here to Riggins to Glacier, Coeur d'Alene, Seattle, Portland, Bend, back to Boise. It was a three-week trip by myself. And I was like, well, I got to document it somehow. So I bought a camera, and it just kind of slowly kept evolving. Whereas, you know, take pictures with friends on hikes, and, you know, I brought it to, like, one of our tailgates and this and that. And then about the last two years, it's really taken off, where it's people's like, hey, weddings and clothing brands, and then some concerts, and now working, you know, at the Hoyt Group full time doing all their stuff. So.
And what's your favorite thing to do?
Honestly, anytime it's an unpaying job, anytime it's just like just out with friends, having fun, you know, like lake days, snowboarding days, where there's no pressure, there's no, oh, it has to be perfect, it has to be that, it's just doing it for fun. I did something recently for Lululemon, which was sweet, but honestly, it took me like 2.5 weeks to edit 15 photos.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like so nervous and doing this. And I even sent it off to a buddy to help me. And then I sent it off to another friend to do some Photoshop stuff. And I was just like so nervous all for, you know, some black and white photos versus, you know, I go to Lake Powell on vacation and I send off 200 photos in like an hour. And it's just for fun, because there's no, you know, you're just having fun. There's natural smiles, the whole shebang. Or, you know, I go to a wedding recently and I brought some film cameras and, you know, just having some fun with it. So anything where it's unpaying, just with friends and family, no pressure behind it. Those are, I mean, don't get me wrong, their stuff is still fun, but it's just you're doing it because you enjoy it rather than someone's paying you, if that makes sense.
Right. Is there, I mean, I feel like there is a lot of people trying to document their lives in the way that they, you know, go about things. And I've seen your social media and just the way that you do portray a very genuine and honest, you know, videos and photos. How is that, like what kind of pressure is it that gets put on you to be perfect? Because I feel like the more genuine, you know, doing your thing, having fun, people get attracted to that more. But yet what you get paid for, that has more pressure and almost sometimes doesn't look as great. Like, what is that balance?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't even really know how to answer that, to be honest. Can you repeat that again? I kind of had a
mesh up of like everything.
There was a little bit.
But I feel like, I guess, like for you, like what is that pressure of having like the perfect photo? Like, because I feel like when you look at something, the more genuine it is, mm-hmm. you know, and I've seen your things, which looks very genuine, the smiles.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, how do you try to not put the pressure on yourself, I guess, is really the question that I'm trying to get to.
Honestly, I think I put the pressure on every time, because I feel like the moment I stop putting the pressure on myself is almost like the moment I stop caring to a degree. I mean, for example, it even goes with videos. Like yesterday, Sunday I sent off a video to a bride and groom. I sent it off at like 3 or 4 o'clock and I didn't get a response till the next morning. So I'm laying in bed at night and I was like, oh my gosh, they didn't like it. Like, I'm thinking about it way too much, and they ended up loving it. But it's just like, you want everything to be as good as possible, especially for clients. Cause you know, now it's to the point where I feel like they're expecting it, even when it is just the fun stuff of boating or whatever. And so it does make you nervous. And then, you know, every now and then sometimes you'll see someone post something and they put a filter on it. And it's like, oh crap, they didn't like my photo, but that's okay. But There definitely is a pressure. I mean, because I want it to be the best as possible, because it's, you know, it's my name and everything out there, and it's especially when they're tagging me and stuff. So
yeah. And how is it? I mean, you're with the Hoyt Group
mm-hmm.
full time, you said.
Yep.
How is that balancing doing that? Are you doing their marketing? Like, what all is involved with the Hoyt Group?
I'm doing all their video stuff, so all the new content you see on their social media, Instagram, some TikTok have been me, and then taking some photos here on the side as well. It's been good. So I knew Elliot and Dusty, both are two agents. I knew them from when they were players. So I had already been working on the team by the time Elliot and Dusty got there. So I've known Elliot almost 10 years now and Dusty probably 9. So that was kind of one of the reasons I left Boise State. And I had a few other job opportunities, but it just didn't mesh. I didn't like kind of the stuff that was going on. But for me, it was like I'm stepping in day one. I've already known them. There's no getting to know each other phase, the whole nine yards. And Elliot's been super supportive of my business. He's like, I understand there's TGM Productions. He's like, I see you doing your weddings and all this other stuff. He's like, I want to support you and help you with that as much as possible. So it's been a good balance for sure.
That's cool. And how is that balancing doing that for them and all of the rest of the stuff that you do within the photography, like the weddings and stuff like that?
There hasn't been any issues yet. It's been pretty good. Obviously, I just let clients know ahead of time. It's like, no, I got to deal with this stuff with the Hoyt Group first. But, you know, Elliot's always been from the start. He's like, I'm not going to force you to be here from 9 to 5, you know, these hard hours. It's like, no, just get in, get your work done. He's like, if you're done for the day and you got nothing else, you know, go home and do your own thing. Like, I mean, he's the same way. It's like sometimes you leave a little early, sometimes you leave a little late. Like, it happens. So,
yeah,
everyone's been super supportive of each other.
That's cool. Where do you think you will take TGN?
Wow. I really want to get into the concert scene. That's the next step. I've been trying to break into that. It's been a little tougher than I thought it would be. And then the other next step, do you know much about FPV drones?
No.
Okay, so FPV is kind of like the new wave. So you have like your normal drones that you use for real estate where the drone just sits there and it hovers, you take photos, whatever. FPV drones don't do any photo. It's all video. And rather than like holding onto it with a phone and a little controller, it's the ones where you put the goggles on and the ones where you like fly through houses super fast, da, 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 all that stuff. That's the next market I really want to capture. Because as I know of right now, I believe there's only one person in the whole state that does it.
Wow.
It's very hard. It's very time consuming. I've crashed my drone like 4 or 5 times. So there's a lot of repercussions that come from it. But the shots you get when you do get it is just absolutely incredible. So that's, I think, the next step, because I think there's just so many more clients because there's a lot less people that you have to fight with over stuff.
Right. How do you feel like it is with your, you know, photography and videography getting clients? Because I feel like same thing with real estate. Everybody knows an agent and everybody knows a photographer.
Mm-hmm. I think it's been, I mean, it definitely goes in waves. I think it's a little more in the summer, probably the same with real estate a little bit to a degree. I've gotten a lot less photo clients, which to a degree is somewhat okay with me. I enjoy video more than photo. Photo is more of like a fun passion for me. Just way to document fun trips, friends, things like that. I honestly haven't put a ton of effort into actually hitting up clients myself. And now that I'm working for the Hoyt Group, I do so much more. I'm doing it all day, every day. I've put together like 6 videos this morning. I'm going to go back, do some more when I get back. And it's just what I do every single day now. So now I think there's less effort from me of just last summer it was just take every single job possible, make as much money, all that kind of stuff. And now it's like, okay, does this benefit me? You know, is this going to help me progress my career? You know, it's like, are these family photos or baby photos? Is this what I want to do? No, not really. Versus like, okay, now I can put that I worked with Lululemon on my website, things like that. So I think now as you get older in life, you just get pickier about everything. So I think I'm getting to that point where it's just getting picky of how can this better me and my career and where I want to go.
Right. How did the gig come up with Lululemon?
So I know there's a girl who works there. Her name is Claire Richardson. I don't know if you know who that is. She worked at Lulu for a very long time. Now she's worked for The Mirror, which Lulu owns The Mirror or something like that. And she had asked me, she hit me up. She said, hey, we got a new ambassador. Do you want to do some photos for them? I was like, yeah, I'd love to. So we went out and shot some stuff and I sent him my 15 photos. And supposedly they're supposed to print one off and put it in the store, like one of those big ones you see, black one ones you see on the wall. So yeah, pretty excited about that. So
I was going to say, like, how does that honestly make you feel? Like, besides excited, like, what does that come from you?
I don't know if there's, like, a word for it. Like, it's just, like, I don't know. Like, it just makes me happy. It's, like, I don't know. You know, you're so used to, like, you know, your first photo shoot. It's, like, oh, cool. I had, like, some family photos. And now it's, like, everyone knows who Lulu is. Like, it's pretty rad.
And you're just the man behind the scenes. Like
just hanging out, snapping some photos and stressing for weeks, not losing sleep and just to make some black and white photos. So
it sounds like you have been throughout your life, you're always the person behind the scenes.
I love being behind the scenes.
You don't like being in the spotlight?
Not at all.
Why not?
I don't know. I just don't. Like I thoroughly enjoy watching my friends and everyone else have fun. I mean, when it comes to, like, we get to weddings and, like, let me see the camera. I'm like, no, like, you guys just, I don't need photos of myself. I don't care. It's not a big deal to me. Like, you know, I just want to see everyone else have fun. That's just me.
And you, I feel like you do it so nonchalantly. Like,
how so?
Like, some people, like, they're having fun, but they don't sometimes probably realize, like, the photos that you're taking, but you're capturing what they're doing.
That is my goal. I do not like stage stuff, things like that. If my goal, I want to take as much content, photos, whatever as possible, and then to be like, I didn't even know you brought your camera type thing.
Yeah.
That's just how it is, because then it becomes more natural. You see the actual smiles and laughs and all those sorts of things.
And remind me again how you actually got into photography.
It was just kind of on a whim. Like, bought the GoPro, and then I went road trip, and just kind of been fun. And honestly, my friend group is probably one of the worst around when it comes to actually taking photos. We might get that one, like, photo at the end of a trip where, you know, it's like, hey, we need to get our photo together. But that's like a 50-50 chance type thing. But, I mean, every trip we do some fun things. You know, we go snowboarding for the day. It's like literally no one took a single thing. Or we go to Jackson Hole for the weekend. We're like, we've literally not one photo or video. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just start doing it. Like, so now it's become – that's who I am, which is also people, you know, hand me their iPhone. It's like, can you take me your photo? You're a photographer. I'm like, I am, but like, it's an iPhone. Anyone can do this. Like,
right.
So those are the fun ones.
That is cool. So we're going to kind of revert back to the whole BSU.
Okay.
You taking on those roles. What was it like to be involved with so many different teams, so many different players? Like, first off, how do you even remember their names or like the second touchdown for BSU? Like, how do you remember that stuff?
I don't know sometimes, because I mean, I could sit here and I could tell you, you know, what their shoe size was, what size sock, short, t-shirt, like all those weird things. And you'd be like, what is wrong with you? But like, that was my job. So it was just like what I did. You know, you have five teams, so you have men's basketball, you have guys who are 7 foot versus women's gymnastics, who, you know, maybe their tallest girl is 5'3". You know, and just very different teams, very different people, you know, and you find a way to interact with all of them daily, go to their practices. And I think the one thing that makes you really get close with these people is we weren't – working in athletics is not a 9-to-5 job. It is all over the place. I mean, you know, there's a game on Saturday night, or we'd have – you know, there was times I would have basketball Wednesday night, volleyball Thursday night, basketball Friday, gymnastics Saturday, basketball Sunday. So it's like, I mean, there's times I was there, you know, 100 hours in a week type thing. So you get to know them and who they are. And my goal, one of the things I always wanted to do with them was I never wanted to talk about sports with them. You know, I see them in the training room. I'm like, hey, how's school going? How's your life? How's your boyfriend? How are your parents back home? And I think that kind of made me really get to know them on a personal level.
Yeah, because especially when you – like already know that, you know, or you could probably see, okay, they're not having a good day, you know, mm-hmm. at their practice or whatnot. And instead of bringing that one topic up that you already know you're connected with them for, you're connecting with them on a different aspect.
For sure. And I know they have those, you know, they already have those conversations with their, you know, coaches or whoever else. So I feel like their time to come see us, myself and the athletic trainers, was kind of a chance to get away and have fun and be lighthearted. So it was always like, hey, you know, what did you do this weekend? Did you float the river? Things like that. It was more just like talk about life and, you know, try and make them enjoy their time there and not, you know, remember that, oh, they missed that catch that game or whatever it was. It's like, no, let's move on and let's talk about some other things.
That's cool. How many people in the athletics were you working with, like a number wise?
Like, okay. So each team kind of usually had its own point person that I would get with. I worked an extra mile arena, so it was myself and then the five athletic trainers, and then I had a person per team. But I mean, like, overall, you would at some point you would work with, you know, the strength coach, the athletic trainer, the coaches, the director of operations. I mean, just from my five teams, probably like at least 50 different people. And then players, there's 105 or so. But then I still kept my relations from, you know, the guys with football. So I'd go talk with them and learn things. And, you know, every now and then it helped with the softball team or the soccer team. And so, I mean, I was just, you know, all over the place.
That's like a, like, it's almost tiring me just hearing about it. Like,
there was some very, very, I had a couch in my office and there was a few nights. Yeah, I did. It was very tiring. I had to sleep on my couch a few different times. So,
wow. Yeah. What was the most tiring of it?
I think just for me working with five teams, I had such different schedules and I was the only person working with those five schedules. So I think everybody else would forget about that. And each team obviously wants to be priority. So it's like, there was a couple days, one day a year where we'd have a volleyball game at 10 a.m., women's basketball at 2:30, men's basketball at like 5 or 6. So I was there from, you know, like 7 a.m. till 11 p.m., just game after game after game. So it was just exhausting, you know, trying to, like, you're trying your best to accommodate for these people as much as you can, but it's like, hey, like, I don't mean to be rude, but volleyball's in season, and you guys haven't even started your season, like, they have a game today, like, you know, I need to accommodate for them type thing, so just trying, you're trying to please as many people as possible, which is just, it's never possible, so.
It's exhausting.
It's very exhausting.
How do you take care of yourself when you're taking care of all of those people? Like, where was your time?
I photography was one of them. Did a lot of that. I'm not a big homebody. So for me, I know a lot of people like to get home, watch TV, whatever. For me, it was surrounding myself with friends, you know, watching other sporting events, you know, just doing all that kind of stuff. Snowboarding, mountain biking, rock climbing, camping. I like to get out of cell service a lot, which is always awesome until you get back into cell service. But yeah.
So it sounds like you just are... You just like to be on the go. Like, that's your normal. That's
I have one rule every summer, and as much as I love Boise, it's not to spend a single weekend in Boise.
And where have you gone this summer?
Let's see. We went to Lake Powell for a week. I was in Lake Tahoe filming a wedding. I think the only weekend I spent here, I was attending a wedding. We did some camping. We did some rock climbing. Just kind of all over. Even if it's just like sometimes we'll just like go to Arrow Rock for the weekend, right. Or like I camped at Lucky Peak. It's just to like get away from the confines of my home and sitting at home and doing nothing. It's just to get out, even just for the night and come back. Or we'll just even just do like a day trip to McCall and come back at night. So, I mean, that still to me like classifies. It's just like just need to get out and do something new and different.
I feel like you are a very rare breed, and I give this to you as a compliment.
Thank you.
Like, there are so many people that are homebodies, and like, have you always been just a curious kind of adventure person?
Actually, to a degree, yes, but I think it really, 2017, I was in a pretty bad car accident, right in front of Whole Foods. I got sideswiped, and then I went head on into a streetlight pole.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And easily could have lost my life that day. So to me, I'm just kind of at this point where it's like, you never know when, you know, your things are going to be taken from you. So I'm very much a yes man, just to have as much fun. I mean, Lake Powell was the same way. It's like, my buddy was like, hey, want to come to Lake Powell? I was like, sure. He's like, do you care when or where? I was like, nope, just let me know where to be and I'll be there. Like, so for me, it's just have as much fun as possible, as long as possible, because you never know when it's going to end.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely see that true in a lot of, and it's hard because I feel like they have to go through a rough experience like you did,
yeah,
to truly understand that. Like, mm-hmm. If you don't like your life, change it.
For sure.
If you don't like where you're at, change it. Like, we have so many abilities in our lives to make it whatever we want. Like, I definitely give you kudos to be like, wow, I could have lost my life. And instead of like hunkering down and secluding, you're like, no, like, let's go live it. Like, why wouldn't we go and live this life? Like, I've gotten blessed with it, mm-hmm. You know? And I think a lot of people, they're like, you know, you only live once. And I'm like, no, typically you only die once. Mm-hmm. Like, you can live every single day.
Every day you wake up, you're living again.
You're living again.
Yeah.
You know? It's very rare that, you know, yes, some people do die twice or die three times, you know, they get brought back. But
right.
That's a really cool perspective of like, hey, like, look at how lucky I am. Like, I get to go and do all these things.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. It changed my perspective on things for sure. And yeah, it's just like I want to have as much fun as possible, as long as possible. And yeah, I don't know. And this is something I've always told my mom. I mean, whenever she's like, hey, do you want something for your birthday or whatever? It's like, I don't want tangible items. It's like, if you want to help contribute, I love making memories and telling stories and doing all that stuff. So that's, for me, it's like birthdays and Christmas, I don't want a single thing. Like, if you want to help donate to my next trip or whatever it is, like, by all means, go for it, because those things are more important to me. I mean, it does help that I'm single, I don't have kids and all those things for sure. But I mean, I still think there's ways that people can do more stuff rather than just sitting at home and watching TV and all that stuff.
Right. But I think even being single and without kids, like, I think that's a way that you can, when you get to that part of your life, you can show them everything that you've done. Mm-hmm. And you can also involve them on those things that you do.
For sure.
Like, it doesn't mean that, you know, oh, you now have a girlfriend or now you have a wife, like, that you can't go do these things. It's like, no, find a wife that wants to do those things with you and wants to explore and wants to go do those things. And that's how you raise your kids. Like, we were, you know, like, I see a lot of people, especially age-wise, where they're like, oh, I had a kid, like, I can't do that now. And I'm like, go take your kid and do it. Like, where else are they going to learn that from?
Exactly. No, I totally agree. I mean, yeah, I've seen it with a few friends, and it's like, you know, love them to death. But yeah, I've heard that excuse many times. But I know they're are some friends that once their kids are, you know, older than like a year old or whatever. I mean, my buddy, they just had a kid this summer, and he would come up mountain biking, and the mom would bring her friends, and they would just, you know, still hike around and walk around Bogus while we would go mountain biking for the day. So there's definitely ways and things I think people just get complacent in or whatever. And it's like, no, we're good. We're just not even going to try and put the effort in anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to say? I've done this recently. Like, yeah, the smoking Boise and my allergies and tired, I totally get it.
Right there with you. It makes you, I mean, even today with the rain, you're just like, I don't even want to go outside. It kind of puts like a damper in your mood a little bit, and I'd have like 3 cups of coffee just like slowly get going today. I was like, yeah.
It's a rough. Okay, so where do you, like, from all of your experiences in life, I mean, you talked about the car wreck, but like, out of those experiences in life, like, what do you really wish to, like, teach people on? Is there anything you would want to teach people on?
I think between the car wreck and actually even just, even my road trip, being alone on the road for 2.5 weeks. The first week and a half I was by myself. I spent a night in a lookout tower, which I don't know if you've ever done that. Yeah, so I was by myself. When you're by yourself and doing camping, things like that, you really get into your thoughts. You start thinking about things. And I learned a lot about myself. I think for me, it was really just like appreciating and cherishing the people I have in my life and not taking that kind of stuff for granted. And just also like realizing, I guess, what's important to a degree. You kind of like weed out the things. I'm like, that's really not that big of a deal and this and that. So, yeah, just appreciating your family, your loved ones, the people that care about you and all that good stuff. And I think even telling them that as much as possible. So, and showing it too. So
yeah,
I'm big on, you know, actions are speak louder than words type stuff. So yeah.
What was it like being alone for that long?
It was weird. As somebody who, I mean, people are always like, oh, I love living by myself. I'm like, I don't like being by myself. Like, I mean, you have your moments when you like you need your alone time, whatever. But like overall, like I'd rather sit in a quiet room with a bunch of people watching TV together, football or whatever it is, than sitting at home by myself. So for me, it was the first night was fine because like, oh, it's first night, I'm so excited. But then like by like night three, night four, like, man, like I just need my friends, I need people, and I'm just sitting in this darn trailer and it's raining outside. Like, you know, you go for hikes and I see a bear and I'm just like, I want there to be people here. And so when I finally got to Seattle and I saw some friends, I was like, okay, thank gosh. Like, I finally have friends now. So I was like, noted, it was fun, but probably not doing that first part of the trip again. Always going with friends.
It is. It's strange because I feel like some people can really enjoy going and doing that by themselves or, you know, like a weekend trip. And then there's other people that, like, it almost haunts them more of being alone.
It did. I mean, like, first night, I was like, I'm just going to chop a bunch of wood and have some fun. But then you're like, man, like, there's only so many things you can do by yourself. And I was like, okay, I chopped the wood. I listened to like 7 podcasts. Like, I built a fire, and now it's just dark, and now it's just weird. And now I'm wondering who's going to come up and, you know, come up behind and kill me, or what animal is out there in the woods. So,
what'd you take for safety?
I just had my axe, and I have this like big knife, and that's about it. I don't own a gun or anything like that. So my roommate owns like 10 or 12. So I'm just like, you got it for us. Yeah, you're good. The dogs will bark if anyone's here, so we're fine. So,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
it's funny because, I mean, it's not funny, but at the same time, like, some people are so prepared, and then there's you that is like, well, I got my axe. I'll be.
I mean, I was prepared in every other way. Like, I had more food than I needed. I brought, you know, I had a bike. I had all these other things, like, probably packed about 4 months worth of clothes. Didn't need all of it, but, like, I've just, yeah, just not, I guess, no weapons to prepare myself against anybody. I guess, I don't know, maybe use some axe and a lighter and light on fire. I don't know. Like, I don't really have anything.
You're like, it'll happen.
It'll happen. I guess I'm just going to die today, so.
Did you take that trip after your car accident or before?
After. It was about 6 months after.
What sparked that trip for you?
I had the new job for a little bit, and one of the other things is the month of May is kind of a good downtime for us. All the athletes go home. All the coaches go out recruiting, and so it's like, well, it's time for us to go on vacation. So that was kind of the thing. And I don't know. I just wanted to try and do something new. And yeah, I was just like, no one wanted to join me. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll go by myself then. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
A lot of fun.
I wish more people did that. I fought wildfires. So that's how I know about the lookout towers.
Yep.
And we would stay in them a couple times. And
they're super cool. I've told my friends, I'm like, we need to go to one of these.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it had like 4, you know, has the beds and everything for you. You just need to get to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times they are obviously very secluded. Like, it, some can be very hard to find,
mm-hmm.
but when you do, it's like a little gem. And then you go up there and you can see everybody else who's written into it and, you know, what their stay was like or how long they stayed there. Like, I think you just learn so much more about other people by what they did or how long they stayed there. And it's just a different thing to do in the areas that we live in, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, no, it was, I mean, it's super cool. You're literally just on this peak by yourself, 360 view. Like, I don't know, it's just, it's different. Like, you can go camping and do all these things, but to, like, be on the tallest peak around you, yeah, it's rad. I'd highly suggest it for anybody. I mean, there's ones you can drive to, there's ones you can backpack to, so.
Yeah.
I would totally suggest it.
Absolutely. Okay, so with your photography, is there people, are you taking clients? Are you not taking clients? What does that look for you?
No, I mean, I'm taking clients here and there. I'm waiting for my new drone to get here. So that's, I guess, my next top priority is figuring that guy out and trying not to crash it as much as I crashed the other one. So
did you ruin your last one from how many times you crashed it?
Yeah, I had to send it in and get a new one. We actually had a couple different times. One, I crashed it once in the mountains across. So I'd taken a ride up Banks, and I think I was out in Garden Valley area. And I crashed it over the side of the mountain, and it was getting late at night, so I had to go home, come back the next day, couldn't find it. So I went back, and then I brought my friends on a Saturday, and we went out, and after like 4 hours of walk around the snow, we finally found it. Wasn't as damaged as we thought it would be, just some bent propellers, which are like $10, so it was fine. And then went out and flew it again at a local little school on a Saturday, and flew that thing straight into the ground, and arms broken off, camera into pieces, the whole shebang. So, yeah.
I feel like that's the risky thing about drones.
Very risky. And it's these are so much different because the ones you do like real estate with, it's just like straight forward, up, down. Like, it's kind of like robotic in a way. These are like full manual. I mean, you can just barely press the stick and it just goes into like a free fall dive, backflip. Like, it can do backflips, the whole shebang.
What?
It's like the racing drones.
Yeah, I have watched the racing.
Yeah, so it's one of those with just a better camera on it. And, I mean, mine goes 100 miles an hour, so.
Holy cow.
So, yeah, you hit anything going 100 miles an hour, you're bound to.
Yeah, you're going to destroy it.
Yeah.
You're going to destroy yourself. It doesn't have airbags like a car.
Nope. So, yeah, that's what happened. Yeah.
Oh, man. How expensive are those?
Depending on what, I mean, they vary, so. The ones I have is through DJI, so it's like it's a plug and play basically. It provides all the stuff for you. So that whole kit was, I think, $1,500. And then I got the new one, but since I already have the goggles and controller, I only needed the drone, so that was $600, so not too bad.
Not too terrible versus once you...
The ones in the racing leagues you can build from scratch, and it makes it a lot cheaper, but you need to know how to build it, solder it. I'm like, I don't have time for that, so...
Which is so weird that, like, you can watch drone racing. Wasn't there one in Boise here recently?
I have no idea, but if I wish I knew.
Maybe there wasn't. Maybe I just thought of that. But there should be.
That would be awesome. I would totally go to that.
Where was I? We were just talking about, like, oh, this is where they race drones.
Here in Boise?
No. It had to have been. I don't know. We'll talk about that.
It's crazy. I mean, they're using them now in movies and stuff. There's a movie, Ambulance, that came out, directed by Michael Bay, and they got a little bit bigger of one. They strapped it a nice big cinema camera on it, and the dude was, like, flying underneath cars and... doing all sorts. Justin Bieber used it in one of his music videos. Like, the whole music video is FPV drone.
So you think this is like the new wave for sure?
It's the new fad. I mean, the Raiders use it in their schedule release. I saw it on American Idol the other day. ESPN had it for their, like, announcement thing with Marshmello. DJs are using them to do all their, like, music videos and stuff. It's very popular in real estate now where people instead they'll just literally – fly from outside, inside, and then fly around. It's just like a one-shot, two-minute video. I have a buddy from Kentucky that I talk to, and he does it for wedding venues. So now the wedding venues don't have to come out to, or people don't have to come out to the wedding venues. They just send them the video, and they're like, this is what it looks like. Because you can get the inside and outside all in one shot, and it's very, like, FPV, first-person view, so they can see exactly what it looked like if they were there.
Wow. Where do you think technology is going to go next?
I have no idea, but it's Techtember right now, so a lot of things are coming out. There's some stuff coming out tomorrow with GoPro and DJI, which are two of my favorite brands. So
I've never even heard of that term. Obviously,
DJI.
No. Techtember.
Techtember. It's
obviously I'm not a tech person. That's why I hire somebody to do all my tech stuff for the podcast.
That's completely understandable. No, Techtember. I watch a lot of the YouTube guys or people talking about the new products coming out. So. The new drone from DJI, GoPro's come out with a new thing. If you know DJI, they're coming out with some other stuff. I'm sure there'll be some more cameras coming out. It's just when iPhone came out last week with their new watch as well. So it's just when every September is kind of when all the new stuff comes out. So it's all ready for Christmas and the holidays. Techtember.
They make you spend money. I can tell you that.
Yep, that new iPhone is pretty.
I haven't even seen it yet.
It's ridiculous.
What's new on that one?
So right now, so like I have a 13, it's a 12 megapixel camera, if you know what any of that means at all. The new iPhone 14 is going to be a 48 megapixel camera, which is just absolutely insane. They have stabilized video now, which is awesome. There's like this new, like up here where the speaker is, there's like a new like bar thing where you can control all your stuff. And the one other thing for me, at least someone who camps a lot, there's an SOS feature.
Oh.
So if you're ever lost, hurt, whatever, it can ping a satellite from anywhere in the world, no matter if you have service or not, and send help.
Whoa. Okay. That's next level.
Which I think is super cool and something surprised hasn't been done before, but.
Yeah. I mean, we have it in our car. So many cars have that.
They have a feature in the car now. It can detect if you're in a car crash and call the paramedics for you as well. Somehow. Which kind of makes me nervous because I'm like, what if I was in like a snowboard crash or a mountain bike? I don't know, but like, if you're not, or you're just like roughhousing around with your friends or something, I don't know.
I'm sure, I mean, kind of like how when you double click and sometimes it'll make you swipe for the emergency. Like you can do that right now on the iPhones.
Right.
But a car, I mean, yeah, that would be interesting for a car crash.
Yeah, it looked like in the ad it was almost like, it signals car crash, then it was like you have like 10 seconds to respond type thing. If you don't, then...
Then it'll send
call
help.
For you.
Yeah. It'll probably do an annoying noise I'm like sure how the would. One... like that, how the emergency one does.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. It'll be something like that for sure. So we'll see. But yeah, those are pretty cool. So
I'm actually more intrigued on that because... so like my past is being a paramedic. And so... my question is like, okay, does it go to the nearest 911 center and then they, you know, say, hey, like, where are you? Do you need help? Like, I wonder if it comes through the speaker on their phone too, or if it just...
I don't know. It didn't go into in depth about it. It just kind of showed the feature of everything. And then especially with the SOS too, like I would imagine now it seems like it's all satellite oriented, so the satellite should be able to pinpoint you pretty precise, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's
something I don't really want to find out, but
no, I mean, the SOS is, I think, especially for being in Idaho, because we do have so much. I mean, like, people are so active. Like, I have a Garmin, like, because I have been a person that have, I mean, multiple different times where I'm like, I need help. And, well, I should say that my past did. Anyways, and then, like, it's so frequent that people are going out of service and accidents happen. And then, you know, we need Lifelight. We need all these things. And the one of the biggest hurdles is, well, where are they? Like, where can you pinpoint them? And so if it's on your phone and it's SOS, like that, being able to get the help to where you need it faster is so much more on the medical side in that golden hour to get people the actual help that they need.
Yeah. I mean, it's even like, yeah, it'll be awesome. Hopefully it saves some lives and does some good stuff. I mean, what was the movie, like 27 hours or whatever it was? That guy wouldn't, he's probably like, man, I'd have my arm back if they would have had this 10 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So,
no, that's, I mean, that's very interesting because I know that there was like, there was a search and rescue in the Waihee Mountains just this past weekend.
Really?
And so, yeah, I think especially where we live, you know, I'm sure there's going to be other people that, you know, Chicago, all these big cities that are like, why do I need this? But it's we live in an area where that's needed for sure.
Here, Utah, Wyoming, Montana. I mean, I think 5 or 6 years ago, there's a guy who got lost in the foothills. He was snowshoeing around in the foothills. And I don't know if he was ever found. I don't remember the rest of the story, but that would have been a great time as well.
Yeah, he actually didn't. And they didn't find him until the springtime when the snow, because it was like he was snowshoeing. And then more snow had came. And so they never found the body until the springtime when everything had thawed out.
Yeah.
And he wasn't very far off the road. And they're like, we didn't, like, you know, I mean, search and rescue is very in depth of how they do their grid system, and didn't come across him. And then, it was until like actually melted and found him.
It's crazy.
Unfortunately.
It's very unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, I hate to end on a bad note, but what else do you want to teach us? What else do you want people to know about you?
I don't know. Not much. Just, I love making new friends, so if anybody out there wants to be friends and create content and do fun stuff, I'm always open and willing to listen and do fun new things. So, yeah.
Cool. And how can people find you?
Instagram, at @TGN_productions. TikTok, tour guide Nancy. Website, TGN-productions.com. So any of those.
Awesome. And listeners, I'll have all of those in the description so you can reach out to him. And I appreciate you coming on, just talking with us and hearing a little bit more about you and what you're doing and where you've been. So
thanks for having me on. I had a good time. This was
absolutely
a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, definitely catch us next week for another episode. And before that, I would love if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. That would very much be supportive of me, and I would love that. And hopefully everybody has a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week for another one. Bye, guys. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review, as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.